Hello and welcome to M&IT Talks. My name's Paul Harvey. I'm the editor of M&IT, and I'm here today with Danielle Bounds, the sales director at ICC Wales. Now, in March, ICC Wales launched a report on the government's proposed Protect Duty legislation, otherwise known as Martin's Law, and that's what Danielle's here to talk with me about today. Hello, Danielle, and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. The proposed Protect Duty legislation. Now, what I know about it is that it's a direct result of campaigning by Fegan Murray, OBE, the mother of Martin Hett, who was killed in the Manchester Arena terrorist attack in 2017. And the legislation will formalise the responsibilities and actions that publicly accessible locations, such as event venues, such as ICC Wales, must take to mitigate the risk of a terrorist attack. Is that about right?
It absolutely is. It is around public locations and event venues in the wake of the Manchester terror attack in 2017. So it was one of the 38 proposed bills in the Queen's speech on the 10th of May, which was super exciting to see that being recognised. So the 22 people that were killed in the Manchester Arena terror attack, what we need to do now to move this forward alongside Fegan, her campaigning has brought about the legislation, hence it being called Martin's Law, in memory of her son. So under current legislation, owners of publicly accessible locations, including conference venues and stadia, have no obligation to act on advice from counter-terrorism officers on how to reduce and mitigate risk of a terror attack, which I don't know about you, but that just seems staggering. So Martin's Law, or the Protect Duty, is an important piece of legislation that will create a coherent and proportionate approach to protective security, just doing our best to mitigate risks and ensure we don't have another repeat of what happened back in 2017.
You carried out the report a couple of months ago. You launched a report on the legislation. And what did your report find?
So we carried out a research survey for the report, and perhaps the most significant finding was how little was known about the legislation. More than half of the people had never heard of the Protect Duty, and 77% said that they would describe their knowledge as low or very low, which, again, that's something that needs action on straight away. But it also is an opportunity. I think we'll all agree that we need to get ourselves in check. You know, admitting that there's some vulnerability there is the first sign, really, to take action and how we can look at moving everything forward. So there's definitely a work of education to be done, which we hope we've started with the publication of the report and its launch into the events industry. So our expert contributions were from counterterrorism security advisors, and they did stress that basically all of the mitigation needs need to be proportionate to the level of risk. So the task need not be as daunting as venues and organisers might first think. But what we all want to really do is just make sure that we can sleep at night. And as Fegan said, that, you know, we can make sure that if people are attending an event, they get home safely, which unfortunately 22 people didn't do in Manchester.
In terms of what event planners and event organisers have to do, people who are putting on events in venues, what will the legislation mean for them?
Well, we're still awaiting the legislation to be enacted to know exactly what will be required of event venues. But there are some practical steps that we can all start taking now in readiness. So the first point would be to read the report. We produce this for industry. And, you know, there isn't a venue in the whole of the UK that's doing everything that they need to do. But what this is, you know, taking a step back, looking at what we need to do and kind of mapping out that roadmap to get there as quickly as we can. It's not a competition. You know, we all have weaknesses. But by reading the report, I think, is step number one, and you know, making yourself aware of what is coming. So during the consultation for the bill, 7 in 10 respondents agreed that those responsible for public accessible locations should take appropriate and proportionate measures to protect the public from attacks. So something really simple, but you know, that has been recognised in this proposed legislation. The most obvious thing we can do is work together as venues and organisers. So we need to conduct risk assessments. We need to complete an event safety report. We need to make sure that as venues, we're completing a vulnerability assessment. And nobody ever likes to say, you know, I'm vulnerable, we've got challenges, but we all do. And it's recognising those and looking at how we can work on those that will make the difference. So security considerations and obviously alongside health and safety requirements as well. So organisers will also need to work with their delegates, they will need to work with their partners to understand that whose job is what in terms of this new legislation that's coming in, so that they can make sure they've got all their bases covered.
I guess it's going to become something that is going to have to be a part of your planning for every event that you put on.
Yep, absolutely. That's, you know, every single event, no matter how big or how small. If you, you know, you look at Manchester, that was a huge event. That was the Ariana Grande concert. There were, you know, huge numbers of people there. But if you look back to the terror attack that happened in London, you know, the attack there that happened near Tower Bridge, that was a really small event. So I think you can't just look at events as a blanket and say, you know, all of the large high profile events are covered and all of the others will be fine, because that absolutely is not the case. So we need to create a really robust, strong event safety plan for every event, regardless of how big or how small.
We mentioned earlier that this legislation has come about as basically as a result of campaigning by Feagan Murray, like you say, the mother of Martin Hett, who was killed in the Manchester Arena terrorist attack. She's written the foreword to the ICC Wales report, hasn't she? I mean, what was it like working with her?
Wow, she was just amazing. So a really remarkable woman. And despite her devastating loss, she has channeled her grief into campaigning for a law in her son's name to basically ensure that public spaces and venues put safety and security of the public first. So her work in this field is truly inspiring. And she gave a really powerful welcome speech at our event to launch the Protect Duty in London. She's also contributed, as she said, the foreword to the report, and it's really approachable. She was very appreciative of the work that we'd put in to produce the report and the fact that we were getting the conversations moving in the events industry. And her overall goal is that everybody, like I said earlier, is able to go home at night. And it's just awareness, really, making sure that what happened to her son doesn't happen to anybody else's.
You mentioned earlier that it was included in the Queen's speech. So it's on the agenda for the next year. The government's going to introduce it in the next year. And so presumably it will be on the law book within the next year.
Feagan has been campaigning for this since 2017. So it's been a real labour of love for her. And she's met with, you know, various people in Westminster, and she's been really, really pushing this for such a long time. So I know I follow her on social media and we're in regular communication, and, you know, just seeing her absolute delight at this getting onto that is just amazing. And it's, you know, testament really to all of the amazing work that she's done. And she gave an analogy when she spoke at our event, which made me smile and is actually very true of her. So she was talking about her discussions with government and comments around her size and how she was a really powerful woman despite her very kind of small nature. And she said, "Oh, don't let that fool you." She said the kind of person that would make that comment has never been in bed with a mosquito. And it made me smile, actually. And it also brought it home that she is, you know, amazingly powerful, and she's amazingly strong, and she will not stop until this is passed. And it doesn't even stop there. It's the implementation then. It's not a box ticking exercise. And, you know, I would urge all organisers to be aware of that. It's not just I've completed a risk assessment. I've used one from last time. I've ticked the box for an event safety plan. You know, you need to be able to sleep at night. And as venues and organisers, we need to know that we've done everything within our power to keep our venues, our staff and our delegates safe.
We absolutely do. The least we can do is read up on the legislation that's coming our way and make sure that we're ready for it when it turns up.
Yep, absolutely. And at ICC Wales, we will be running a roundtable on the Protect Duty for clients in July. And we're urging people to register for that roundtable. And basically what we will be doing there is engaging with people in industry and counterterrorism and giving you those first steps and skills to be able to write those event safety plans and be able to move this forward ahead of any impending laws that are passed.
I know, that sounds brilliant. It sounds absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much for joining me today, Danielle. And best of luck with it. Yeah, looking forward to seeing the next steps.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Paul.